The recording has resumed at 11:50. Dr. King, or Dr. Vecchio.
Okay, so we're going to look at initial review, case 2368, Paul Kempton. Is that Mindy or?
Yep, it's me, and I believe that Mr. Kempton and the complainant patient RB are present. Board opened case 2368 after review of the complaint from a patient, RB. RB alleged that Mr. Kempton inaccurately documented her care in the medical record and engaged in substandard care. Mr. Kempton did receive a copy of the investigative report but did not provide a supplemental written response. And based on medical record review and written statements, additional potential violations from his notice of complaint were included for the board's consideration. Those potential violations include ARS 32-2044, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, ARS 32-2044-20, as it relates to R424-304, failing to maintain adequate patient records, ARS 32-2044-13H, on each date of service, the physical therapist must provide and document all of the therapeutic intervention that requires the expertise of a physical therapist assistant and must determine the use of a physical therapist and must determine the use of physical therapist assistants and other assistive personnel to ensure the delivery of care that is safe, effective, and efficient. ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. ARS 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter or in the practice of the profession. And finally, ARS 32-2042, as it relates to R424-302, use of title. This case is for your review.
Okay, Mr. Kempton, is there anything that you would like to say to the board to begin?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the time. I'd like to start by saying I'm genuinely sorry that Ms. RB had this unfortunate experience at my office. She didn't deserve that. It is something as a business owner I obviously never want to have happen in my office. Over 30 years of over a 30 plus year career, thousands of others have fortunately not had the same experience, at least that I'm aware of. I do freely admit that there were mistakes made, but honestly, none of which were intentionally untruthful or falsified. Proactively, going forward, solutions or steps that I have taken last year so this never happens again include hiring a professional one-on-one coaching company that comprehensively train on clinic operations, procedures, documentation, coding, and billing. I've instituted a company policy that notes be completed within a 24 to 48 hour period. I've hired two outstanding PTs to help with the workload. And lastly, I am in the final stages of selling my company and moving from patient care into a management role slash retirement. I openly admit that I am not perfect, just ask my wife, but I do genuinely want to improve. Thank you.
And patient RD, is there anything that you would like to say to begin?
First, I would like to thank Mindy Richardson for working with me and following up and making sure that of my accuracy in asking questions. I appreciated Mr. Kempton's remarks and what he is planning to do. My key reason was I was unhappy with the what the treatment I had, and I switched to another place, MDM, and it was like a comparing a D minus to an A plus. Just what was done, being a physical therapy and working, having her work with me like for 20 to 25 to 30 minutes before I even started. And the other thing I never received was an assessment from the Kempton rehab versus starting every session with how am I doing, my flexibility, what could I do, not just my arm, but my whole general health. So thank you for reviewing this case. I absolutely have learned a lot listening this morning and appreciate all that you do.
And would you be willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. And Mr. Kempton, would you be willing to answer questions?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you. Does anyone on the board have questions to begin with? So I guess I'll go ahead and start then. I did review all the records there, Mr. Kempton. Can you talk a little bit about the patient's thought that you did not provide an evaluation or work with her on the dates of service that you saw her?
I did see her for the entirety of the time on the initial evaluation. I did perform an initial evaluation, and we did exercises on that same visit. I believe she did say that she was there for an hour, at least when the times that she was here close to an hour. One thing that I did notice was not correct is on the flow sheet, it only showed three exercises, but we had done most of those exercises on there. I just inadvertently didn't put sets, reps, or anything on there on the ones. And then when she came in the next time, I guess the staff just put an arrow forward saying we're going to do those. We're supposed to do this day. So they performed them on the next day. But I remember taking her specifically through all those stretching and range of motion things on the initial evaluation. Or at the time of the first visit.
Personally, you perform those.
Correct.
Okay. And why do you feel that she thinks that she was not given an evaluation or not worked with? Did you perform manual therapy?
I did. I did in the room. Joint MOBs, range of motion, both the shoulder, scapulothoracic, and the elbow joint in the room. But then we moved relatively quickly out to the gym where we did more of those active movement exercises.
Can you address at all her discrepancy with yours regarding her pain levels and
tolerances? The pain scales, the 8 out of 10 pain was based on what she said she experienced when the doctor reset the shoulder. It wasn't based on her symptoms at the time she arrived. The other ones were based on what I felt based on what she said in her shoulder blade area, her neck and upper back, from compensating with her neck and shoulder because of her arm. But that is where the numbers came from that I documented.
And did she complete a dash during her initial evaluation?
No. The information that I gained in the initial evaluation throughout the first visit, I personally did. She was not given a dash initially. And so I, based on the information that I had and through the initial evaluation, I filled out the dash 4, which I obviously wouldn't do again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kempton, it's Kelly King. I apologize. Can you hear me okay? I'm quite remote today.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Thank you. I'm just curious, because of the number of omissions or errors on this particular chart, how many patients are on your schedule prior to you hiring the 2 new PTs? How many patients are typically on your schedule each day?
Typically 20 to 25. Sometimes depending, it might be a little bit more, but usually 20 to 25.
And so in an 8-hour day, you've got four to five patients going.
No, that's you. I'm sorry. We worked 10-hour days on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and 5 hours on Tuesday and Thursday. So that would be a 10-hour day.
Okay. So three patients an hour ish.
Three patients an hour. Okay.
So it seems like that schedule would be fraught with risks of errors. Have you caught other errors before in your own documentation?
I mean, there have been errors because ideally, which we're doing now, documentation would be done within 12 to 24 hours, which we're now doing. But yes, I can see how documentation could be less accurate, if the documentation is done several days later. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So and then just so I can get kind of a vision of how, you know, what's going on in the practice, how many texts are there, PTAs, do you supervise in a day?
How many? There's three PTs. There's one PTA and two technicians.
Okay. And the three PTAs were PTs. That was prior to you hiring two PTs recently?
No. That's what I have now.
Okay. When the complaint issued, was it just you as the PT with a PTA and three techs?
No, there was me and one other PT and the PTA that's mentioned.
Oh, I see. And no techs then?
No, both those techs. Yeah, both those techs, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question regarding the timing of the patient RD not being able to get her medical records. It appeared that you had been out of town, and so she couldn't get her medical records because the records weren't completed at that time. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct. Unfortunately, they had not been completed at that time. And based on, kind of a medical emergency with one of my daughters, another daughter threatening an early pregnancy or an early delivery, I was out of town in Utah. And then when I got back, then the communication wasn't very good that, hey, you need to get this done, you know, that kind of stuff. So, there were some mitigating circumstances, none of which there's no excuse. And obviously, we're trying to, make this a much better operation. And so that's why we've made the changes that we've made going forward. And obviously I'm not seeing nearly the number of patients I've seen before, and I'm moving more into a management role in retirement.
How long were you gone at the time?
I was gone, I believe it was a week, maybe a week and a half.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Dr. Rocio, if there are no other questions for Mr. Kempton, I would like to just make a suggestion, just thinking out loud. With the number of errors on this particular chart, I would be very interested to see it. Another sample of his documentation and other patients' charts prior to making the final determination on this. So I really would like to continue this or move it into potentially an informal hearing with additional investigation into his documentation and practice.
So is that a motion?
Well, initially, I'm the only person thinking that we should definitely discuss. But if I'm not the only person, I am happy to make a motion.
May I make a comment or later?
Go ahead.
Okay. So in terms of my paperwork, we filled out all of the paperwork on the same day. And I still don't know what. I was diagnosed with a vertebrogenic lower back pain. I have no idea what that means, but it didn't seem to have too much to do with my broken left humerus. The other thing is, I might have one time gone into a private room, but in comparison to where I am going, it wasn't just my shoulder or arm they checked. They checked my whole body for my posture, for my flexibility, for an entire overview of what my situation was. Let's see. And I believe that, yes, they did 8 to 10 minutes of therapy at the very end of the session of rubbing and helping that shoulder. But in comparison to the other place, they started with an assessment of my flexibility and completely. I do remember him not being there one time, but with the others, information that he said, the only time I heard about was when he was away on weekends, at doing things that he really enjoyed in other towns and places. The whole thing was, I didn't feel that I was important. I didn't feel that I was getting actual physical treatment. That's why I quit after 5. And within 3 appointments of another place where everything was done per book with care, I have full mobility. And so I will now be quiet.
Thank you. So if we need more, we're looking for more chart review. Do we need to move this to an informal hearing then for additional investigative report?
Not necessarily, Dr. Bustillo. They're mutual. They can go together. You can ask, you know, board staff to obtain additional information, prepare a supplemental report, and review it at your informal, or you can just continue it for further investigation.
Did you have a thought, Kelly, on how you wanted to?
I would prefer, my preference would be to move it to an informal with additional investigation, and that way anything, for the most part, is at the board's discretion, depending upon what the investigation finds.
Okay.
Second.
And Dr. Bustillo, Dr. King, did you just address one more time the additional investigation you would like staff to complete?
Yes. When we make the motion, Mr. Harris, we will definitely do that. We're just discussing right now, you know, needing more additional information. I'll make a motion. I move that we move this to an informal hearing. I would like to see an additional at least 6 charts of patients evaluated to an evaluation and a progress note, ideally a discharge summary as well. And if you think 6 is too much, that's fine. We can certainly discuss that. That's fine.
Is there a particular time period that you would want me to pull those records?
I think probably really around somewhere between the time of the complaint and current.
Okay.
We can say he's put some things into action, so it'll be interesting to see if there's been any change in the actions that he stated to the board that he has taken. So I'd like to compare from where he was to where he is. Is that reasonable?
So records that occurred at the time of the complaint and then records that are more current.
Correct. Correct. Does that sound okay? Okay. Yeah. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah. And how many were you looking for?
I was hoping for six, but if that's too much, you know, that seems like a pretty good sample, but if he's less than that to make a decision, we could do less than that.
Mm-hmm.
As thorough as our investigators are, I think three would be reasonable. It would probably give us a good idea of practice.
What about a compromise? Two and two, two old ones at the time of the complaint, and two in a more recent time frame.
I think that's fabulous.
Okay.
Yes, it's absolutely appropriate.
Mr. Greer, do you still second?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we can call the question here, Judy.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded to invite Paul Kempton in case 2368 to an informal hearing that will include all of the potential violations set forth in the investigative report, and to then request additional investigation to include an additional four patient records that demonstrate an initial evaluation, progress notes, and a discharge summary as available. Two of those records should be in the time frame of the initial complaint, and two of those records should be in a more recent time frame. Dr. King. I'm sorry, Dr. King, I didn't get a clear answer.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, the board will be in touch with you, Mr. Kempton, about your next steps.
Okay, thank you, Ruby. Appreciate it.
Okay. How's everybody doing? We good? Okay, so let's move on to number 10, PT contact matters. We may need to use executive session to talk about things. Is that you, Judy?
There's nothing on the agenda for the PT compact matters.
Okay. All right. So then we're into old business here.
Mm-hmm.
First one is A, case 2344, Patricia Parks, a review, discussion, and possible action regarding the results of her board-ordered evaluation.
Yes, and Ms. Parks is on the call.
Okay.
At its September 29th, 2023 meeting, the board was presented with an initial review for case 2344, Patricia Parks, PT. Ms. Parks was charged with extreme DUI and unsafe lane change on November 15th, 2022. At the time of her arrest, her blood alcohol content was 0.267 with a prior DUI noted on the arrest document. Ms. Parks self-reported the charges to the board on November 25th, 2022, meeting the regulatory requirement of 10 days. She admitted herself to an inpatient rehab program for 35 days and was discharged in early January 2023. During the initial review, the board voted to offer Ms. Parks an interim consent agreement to not practice under her license and to undergo a substance abuse evaluation from an approved provider in 45 days and return to the board in 60 days. If the interim consent agreement was not signed within 7 days, the board would issue an order for substance abuse evaluation to be completed within 60 days of the order. Ms. Parks opted to not sign the interim consent agreement, so an interim order was executed on October 16, 2023. Ms. Parks completed the ordered substance abuse evaluation on December 13, 2023, and the evaluation report was provided for your review. Publicly available court docket information indicates that this legal case is active and open. She pled guilty on April 18, 2023 to extreme DUI. Her sentence includes 104 days of continuous monitoring, 30 hours of community service, jail term of 130 days, fines, and a complete DUI screening or education program. The status of her court-ordered sentencing requirements is unknown. Of note, Ms. Parks was arrested on April 5th, 2023 for DUI and criminal trespass. She reported the charge to the board within the 10-day requirement. The court case was closed due to supervening indictment for the November 15th, 2022 arrest. The board was provided with the evaluation report, including a supplemental explanation, a supplemental email conducted with the evaluator, as well as court documents from Phoenix Municipal and the Yuma Justice Courts. This matter is for your review.
Okay, so this is mostly to review the evaluation and to ask for more determination. Ms. Parks, is there anything that you would like to say at this point?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I've been on the line for several hours. I apologize. I'm driving right now. I just would like to state that prior to the evaluation, I was not employed until I actually moved to Phoenix and started employment in November, and I am just barely getting started again working in the field of physical therapy. Matter.
Ms. Parks, you were breaking up just a little bit. I'm not sure the board heard your whole.
Yeah, and Judy, I apologize for interrupting, but if Ms. Parks is driving, this is making me very uncomfortable.
No, I actually just stopped. Okay. I'm here. So.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
So are you able to restate what you were telling us?
Oh, I just wanted to say that prior to the evaluation, I voluntarily quit working to make sure that I was in a safe place to start work again. And I just started new employment in November in Phoenix.
Okay. So I'm going to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Second.
Who did that second?
Giovanni.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded to enter into executive session to obtain legal advice. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes. The board will exit this meeting and move into executive session. After that executive session is complete, the board will return to this meeting.
Judy, for the record, yes. Executive session at 12:20.
Yes, 12:20. The recording will stop. I haven't stopped the recording yet. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.